to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever. Honor and glory forever. Amen. That's scriptural. You can look it up. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. We sang the Word of God. We sing the Word of God every time we get together here. These songs are anointed songs. When God's Word is in there, there's an anointing upon the song. And when it goes forth, if you open up your ears and your heart, you'll hear it. And it'll speak to you as that song just spoke to us. Honor and glory forever. Now, in Ephesians, because we're looking at the glory of God this morning, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. What's he able to do? Exceedingly abundantly. What? Above all that we ask or think. Think. That is cool. Be honor and glory, right, to him. But it says, according to the power that works in us. According to the power that works in us. The power that works in us, it's the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, is working in you and me as the believers. We have the promise of the Holy Spirit. And we were promised the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised him to us in John chapter 14. So you can look it up there in John chapter 14 where he promises to send us the helper, to send us someone who's going to comfort us, someone who's going to be there to take us through what we need to go through, because Jesus wasn't going to be here to do it much longer, and he knew that we needed the Holy Spirit. So he was a promise to us. So we need to exercise our faith in God's promise, especially that he, the Holy Spirit, is working in you to fulfill God's plans and purposes for your life. He's doing something so powerful in you that it says right there, exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. He's working for you, in you, according to the power that's in you, more than you can ask, more than you can think. Notice when you ask for something, he always takes it one up. Always gives you just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. And that's why even when it comes to tithing, you can't outgive God. Verse 21. To him be glory in the church. And that is the church as... If you weren't here on Wednesday night, get the teaching on the crawling hand. Okay? It talks about the church. Leanne did an awesome job. And she pointed out, we're talking about the church here. It's not this structure. The church is you. Church is the believers. That's who he's referring to. Glory in the church by Christ Jesus. To all generations, to all generations, all future generations, forever and ever. Honor and glory forever and ever. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 20, Paul ends his letter with, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Point is to be made here, is it not? Honor and glory for him. Now you're going to think, where did this come in? But I don't question God when he puts something together for me. And neither should you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. Be sober and watchful, because your adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you know yourself, when you sit down at a meal and you devour something, ain't nothing left. You lick the plate clean. That's exactly what that means here. That's what he wants to do. See, because lions, they attack sick, young, and straggling animals. They choose victims who are alone and not alert. When you are going through a situation or a problem, we get down. We get to feeling all alone. We get discouraged. We get weak. We feel helpless. And then we start to cut ourselves off from other believers. We're so focused on our troubles that we forget to watch for the danger. You're in it, but there's somebody lurking to capitalize on where your focus is. And then what happens when we start to focus on that problem so much? We become vulnerable to the devil's attacks. Because your adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And that's why you think about the scripture in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assemblings of yourself together. Why do you think that was put in there? We need to be in church, and we need to be fellowshipping with other believers. They're the ones that are going to encourage you, I pray. You know, you need to be with fellow believers who are going to encourage you. They're going to encourage you to stand. When you don't think that you can stand no more, a good Holy Spirit, Bible-taught believer is going to give you the word. And he's going to make sure that your faith is rock solid. And then you can stand. And when you don't feel it, you can stand. That's why you need to be around him. Because he's going to encourage you and tell you, you can stand. Don't be moved by what you see. Don't be moved by what you hear. Be moved by what you believe. But verse 9 of that, and what's he tell us to do? Resist, right? That's what a good fellow believer is going to tell you. Resist. Says, resist the devil firmly in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. We resist him firmly in the faith. In the faith in Jesus, who defeated him at the cross. It's already been defeated, folks. And in James, what did he tell us? He will flee from you. Resist him and he will flee from you. James 4:7, by the way. And you see what else is said there? Your brothers and sisters, they're going through the same thing. Yeah. Some of them, the very exact same thing. And they got through it. They got through it. You will get through it. We must resist the devil. We must be on our guard. We must not focus on our problem or our situations. Keep our focus on Jesus. Keep your focus on Jesus. Verse 10. But after you have suffered a little while, yeah, you're going to suffer a little while, the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory through Christ Jesus, will restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. He will give you stability. He will give you the stability you need. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We've been talking a lot about glory here. Glory. Hebrew word, kabod. Not commode, kabod. Greek word is doxa. And it means abundance, riches, honor, splendor, brightness, magnificence, excellence, preeminence, dignity, grace, reverence. Our God is an awesome God. And he reigns from heaven above with all wisdom, all power, and love. God is an awesome God. Remember we used to sing that song, someone? Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. He is an awesome God. He's our God. And more personal, he's my God. That's what he's my God. And he reigns with power and most of all, love. 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 Agape love. Agape love. Laying down his life for you. Unconditionally. He did it when you weren't even worthy of it. But because of it, he made you worthy. We will see the glory of God when we, are you ready for this? Simply believe. Yeah. Look to Luke chapter 8, verses 49 and 50. Amplified Classic Edition. Because you want to know where I got this from years and years and years ago. Are you ready? While Jesus was still speaking, a man from the house of the director of the synagogue came and said to Jairus, "Your daughter is dead. Do not weary the teacher any further." You got to remember, he was on a high at this point in time. His faith was flying. He believed that Jesus was going to do what he had asked. And he got detained because there was a woman on their way going there who had to interrupt things because she wanted to reach out and touch Jesus. She didn't ask him for anything. She just reached out and touched him. And then she had to come forth because Jesus stopped and wanted to address it. He wanted to address it for all those that were there. That's how simple it is. But because it was faith, it was her faith. Now, Jesus is taking the time to explain this to the crowd of what had just taken place. And Jairus, he's sitting there. He's mesmerized. He's like, wow, listening to Jesus. Listen to him talk. And then somebody comes up into his ear, gets his attention and says, hey, don't bother him no more. Your daughter died. And as soon as he started to look around to say a question to that person who spoke that, Jesus grabbed a hold of him, said, hey, eyes on me. What are you focusing on? Your head's down. Lift your head up. Look up. Look up. What are we looking down for? When you're looking down for, oh my. No, look up to Jesus. Look to Jesus. He was looking to Jesus the whole time. One word said to him, and he put his head down. No. Jesus said, focus. Get your eyes on me. Look to me, he's saying. He gets his attention. And he said to him, do not be seized with alarm or struck with fear. Simply believe in me as able to do this, and she shall be made well. Simply believe in me as able to do this. Do what? What he had asked. You go to the beginning, you'll see where he went to Jesus before he ran into the woman and asked him to come to my house. Heal my only daughter. My only daughter. She's dying. He probably tried everything there was that man knew to do. And she was not any better. In fact, she was worse. She was on the verge of dying. His last hope should have been his first. But his last hope, he went to Jesus. Because he'd heard so much about Jesus. That's why we need to hear about Jesus by being in the Word and hearing the Word read every Sunday from this pulpit.
Come on, Pastor. Yes, sir.
When you ask, you believe that you receive, and you will have what you ask. You believe, you receive. When? When? When you ask. As soon as you ask, you believe you have it. You may not see it in the natural, but you have it. Faith sees that you have it. Faith sees that you have it. Faith has a clearer vision of what is true than what's in the world. Okay, look. Did you ever see the movie The Matrix? When the image you saw, the people saw, it looked like the greatest things in the world. Everything was going on, all the world, the businesses. But then in reality, when The Matrix was shutting down, you saw the devastation and everything that was back there. Everything that was hidden from the eye. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. That's all I can tell you. And what did this man ask? He asked for his 12-year-old daughter to be made well. She was only 12 years old. And she was made well. From the very top of her head to the soles of her feet. She got up and she walked around and she talked. She was walking and a-talking. She wasn't laying in the bed no more. She was up and on her feet. She was healthier that day than she had been in the 12 years before that. To that point, she was healthier that day because she had wholeness. She had healing. And when he brought the healing, everything that was in there, I don't care, every little thing that was left was cleared out. That day, she was clean as a whistle. Clean as a whistle. I'm telling you. But those in that room that day, they got to see the glory of God. The magnificence of the healing power of God the Son, Jesus. Remember, God the Son. Mercy. His loving kindness. It was mercy. To him be all honor and glory. Now you can turn to John. John chapter 11. We're going to do a lot of reading here. We're going to read 20 through 44. New King James. Okay, this is where Lazarus is brought back to life. Brought back to his original life. Not the new one, but brought back to his original life. See, a lot of people think that he was brought back as the in a resurrected body. He was not. It was the same old body. Same old body. His heart just got jump-started with an electrode from the Lord. Anyhow, let's start reading there. It says in verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Mary stayed sitting in the house. See, because they had went earlier and let Jesus know their brother was sick, on the verge that he may die. He had the news, and he delayed a couple more days before he went to see Lazarus. Now, you remember, he loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus a lot. It says that right in his word. Do you think she might have been a little bit upset? Do you think she was, maybe, or she was just grieving that much? A little thought there. You think about that. When Jesus doesn't do something for you, what's your reaction? Oh, poor God, he didn't answer. He didn't do anything for me. Oh, okay, thank you, Lord. I'm just going to wait patiently because I know you have the answer. No, we right away, we're mad. We're upset. He didn't do it on our timetable. He didn't do it when I wanted it done. Maybe because that wasn't the right time. Maybe you weren't ready for it at that time. God knows, and he's got the timing down pat. He knows when to deliver for you. Most of the time he delivers when you believed. If you believe, you receive. When you ask, you'll have it. But see, that's where we run into problem. Now where we run into problem? You ask, but do you really, really, really believe? All right, let's get back down where we're at. Verse 21. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. That was her faith speaking. That was her faith that was speaking. She spoke faith. She knew that Jesus, you know, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will arise again. Martha, though, she had to open her mouth. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She didn't give him a chance. Most of the time, we don't give someone a chance. We don't give him a chance. We just start talking when we should be listening. Jesus said to her, honey, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. But see, everything she was thinking is future. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister. And she said, wait a minute. Because Jesus is sitting there and he's thinking, man, you know, aren't these people, don't they listen? How much time did I spend at their house? I sat with these people and poured out to them. Martha says, the teacher has come and is calling for you. Now, it doesn't say anything that Jesus said, go get your sister. Martha knew that she needed somebody to straighten her out. Martha's faith maybe was just a little bit stronger at that time. So she ran and got her sister and encouraged her sister. Don't ignore the Lord. He wants to see you. He's come all this way. Let's go see him. You need to go see him. Humble yourselves and go to the Lord. Yeah. Quit blaming him. Okay. It says, as soon as Martha had told Mary about it, she got up and she arose and quickly came to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha had met him. He was still there. Then the Jews who were with Mary in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, they followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. The funeral procession, on they go. Then, when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Where did we hear that before? I think Martha said the exact same words. Well, you figure, they are sisters, and they were both probably discussing it the whole time. You know, if he would have been here, our brother would not have died. Yeah, if our brother would not have been here, if our brother, or Jesus would not, let me start over again here. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Well, Lord, if you would not have been here, if he would not have been there, and he wasn't, and they knew that, but they were trying to, I went, were they trying to make him feel bad? Or were they trying to say, we know that you could have stopped this. So it's your fault. You could have stopped this from happening. Really? But Jesus, he's sitting there, he's listening to them. They're saying their part. Now, you know there's a little bit more conversations going on. But they can't put it all down. Because there's nobody sitting there going, you know. You go into court, they got that lady, what do they call them? Stenographer? Yeah. I had a friend of mine, that's how she made her living. Yeah. And all those little things that she would mark down, and she could interpret that into a whole bunch of things, but she never missed anything. You thought it was a recording, the way they could do that. They're well trained, those girls. Anyhow, let's go back. Okay. All right. So then, let's see, Mary came to where Jesus was, and she said, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. And she stopped right there. She didn't add to it like Martha did. Her faith stopped there because the tears came in. Her emotions started taking over. She started crying again. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit, and he was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? He asked, where have you laid him? You don't tell me that Jesus didn't know exactly where he was. Okay. It says, Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept him from dying? There you go. You notice when you're going through something, there's always somebody who comes up with a comment like that. So they've all went and they're gathered outside the tomb. All the people that were in the house, all of those naysayers up there, they're talking. They're talking instead of just shutting their mouths and watching. They're talking. Their tongues are moving. And there's Mary and Martha right there with each other, probably holding on to one another, wondering what Jesus is up to. What's he going to say? And Jesus, he groans in himself again as he came to the tomb. And it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Told them, take away the stone. He didn't need them to take away the stone. All he had to do was tell one of his angels, roll that thing out of the way. No. He had them to do this. They had to see. They had to be part of it. See, some people, seeing, touching, feeling is believing. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been in there 4 days. He stinks." I worked for a funeral home for a while. Actually, I worked for the furniture, and we had to do work for the funeral home also, called Bachelor's Furniture Home. I'm telling you what, you've been around a body that's laid around for a few days and they haven't embalmed it. I'm just telling you, it's a smell you'll never, ever forget. Jesus said to her, but I like what the Message Bible says, he looked her in the eye. "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" You would see the glory of God. Takes believing. Simply believing. Simply believing and you will see the glory of God. Verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes. He lifted up his eyes. Who is he lifting his eyes to? His Father in heaven. Yep. Don't look down, look up. Amen. Whatever you're going through, look up. Whatever you're facing, look up. Jesus was facing the task of having that man come out of that grave. What'd he do? He looks up and he said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." That's because he had just finished a long prayer. He prayed. And he wanted the people to know that who he was thanking. "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me." And he always hears you too, folks. Yes, he does. "But because of the people who were standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" I could have said it a lot louder, because he probably did. But I've been in the sound booth before, and I know what that does on tape. And he who had died, came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. He came out of the grave. He was free of the grave, but he was still bound in grave clothes. He was still carrying the things of the world with him. And his face was wrapped with a cloth. And what Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." When someone's going through something and they're wearing those grave clothes, that's what we're supposed to do. Help them shed those grave clothes. Get them off. Quit carrying what you got to carry. You don't have to carry it no more. Jesus takes care of those problems. He gave you a new robe to wear. His righteous robe. Loose him and let him go. We are to help our brothers and sisters, not to carry those different things that are associated with that. Because see, we have been set free. We've been set free from the grave. Your body is going to someday go to the grave. But your spirit and soul are going to go somewhere else. They're going to go to heaven with Jesus. Because all of you in here, I know you got Jesus in your heart. A lot of people that day, they witnessed the glory of God. They got to see the miracle working resurrection power of God firsthand. When we are in search of a miracle, whose glory are we seeking our miracles for? Ourselves or the ones we're praying for? When we receive the miracle, we are definitely the beneficiary, aren't we? When we're the ones praying or receiving, plain and simply, we are the beneficiaries. But after the mountains been cast into the sea, and it went bloop, bloop, and it disappeared, and you can't see it no more. Who gets the glory? What happens to the glory? Jesus could have easily spoken the miracle into existence and received all the glory. But he chose instead to glorify his Father. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. He heard the prayers and he said it in front of the people. He made sure that they knew all the glory belonged to the Father. He wasn't taking any credit for it. No, he was not. He gave credit where credit was due. All honor and all glory forever and ever unto our Lord. All the glory for everything good that is done for us on our behalf belongs to God, no one else. In Matthew 19:26, Mark 10:27, and Luke 18:27, Jesus said the very same things. So it was definitely something that he wanted all of us to know. Jesus looked at them and he said, "With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." All things are possible with God. What is possible with God? What's possible with God? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? The same God who parted the Red Sea, rained manna from heaven, caused the walls of Jericho to fall with a shout and the trump. And he healed the sick by the thousands. And he healed thousands simply by a touch. Simply by their touch. He didn't have to reach out and touch them. They reached out in faith and touched him. How are you to do that? Reach out in faith and touch the Lord. You need a healing? Reach out and touch him. Reach out. You need a financial breakthrough? Reach out and touch him. That's all it takes. You got to do the reaching. You got to do the reaching. You need a relationship restored? Reach out and touch him. He said he can restore. And he'll give you the strength and the joy to go through it. He restores. He repairs broken hearts, broken lives. He is a repairer. And when he restores, it's better than new. The same God raised the dead on many occasions. You know, and he caused not one hair on the head of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be singed. Even though Those who threw him in there, threw them in there, the flames consumed. This same God who still performs miracles today on a regular basis, if you can and will, simply believe. He's a miracle God. A miracle walking God. Working God. He does walk too. Because he has a form. In Psalm 136, verse 4 of the Message Bible, says, thank the miracle working God. His love never quits. His love never quits. And what kind of love is it? It's agape love. And it never fails. God is a miracle working God. And we have many recorded and eyewitness accounts of the miracles in our Bible. Miracles done by the Father. And miracles done by Jesus while he was on the earth. And God is still doing miracles today. Miracles are done today also by believers. By believers. Because Jesus gave the believer the authority. Gave the believer the authority. Mark chapter 16, verses 16 through 18. Jesus speaking, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick. Believers lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Jesus said that. Are you a believer? Well, you go in there in faith, believing when you lay hands on that they're going to get healed. They're healed. They're healed. You get them in agreement with you when you pray. They're healed. It was a lady the other day when I was over at the hospital. I come in there, had a corduroy jacket on, and had my t-shirt under it. Looking real reverential there, had my t-shirt with my superheroes on it. And this nurse says, I like your corduroy jacket. I said, oh, thank you. She says, I especially like the superheroes. She says, you got the Avengers. I said, yeah, but I said, I got the ultimate Avenger. I says, in me. And I says, he's right there in the center. And she says, she's looking. She said, what? So I opened it up and let her look at the shirt. And she went, wow. She says, what'd that say? And it's Jesus sitting right in the middle. And he looks at all the superheroes and says, and that's how I save the world. She says, that's awesome. I said, yeah, he is the greatest Avenger. And then she's looking more detailed. She says, that's Flash there. And he's got a Bible. And there's this one. Yeah. I says, cool. But she saw that and she recognized, and it opened up a conversation. But I thought that was pretty cool. See, though, people look at you. When you don't think they're looking, they're looking at you. Okay. Flo, when she looks, she says, his pants cuffs, it's too high. That pants need to fit. See, she's not looking at getting a word. She's looking to make sure, does he look good? Does the pastor look good? Am I right, sir? Has not she always said that? She said, look, I need to fix your pants later. They're out of adjustment. Am I telling the truth? Okay. All right. We love you, Flo. Love you, Flo. Another little question. This morning when I was reading, studying something, and we're talking about superheroes. Do you remember Loki? He's he's the evil one from Asgard, the evil god from Asgard. He's not Thor. He's Thor's brother. Well, anyhow, the Hulk jumps up, and he's going to fight Loki. And he's standing there, Hulk. And I watched him simply, never talked. All he ever did was, Arr! That's all you ever heard from the Hulk, right? Loud groans, fierceness, Arr! That's it. And he comes up, and Loki looks at him, and he says, he calls at him, yells at him, he says, "You bow down to me. I'm a god. You serve me." And a Hulk just went, grabbed me and went, boom, 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 boom. And he crushed him right into the floor. And Hulk just turned around and walked away. He says, "Puny god." He recognized that God had no authority. We need to be like that and make sure when we hear from who we're hearing from. But I just thought that was pretty cool. And all you heard Loki on the floor there when they come. I don't know. I just thought you would enjoy that. Okay. Let's get back on. So, as I said, there are miracles done today through the believers. We just need to open our eyes and our ears. Sometimes we don't even recognize them. And especially, we need to open up our spiritual eyes and our ears. He's working. There are miracles that are happening today. There are miracles in here that are sitting in these seats. You've had a miracle done to you. And Nikki's waving. I'm old Frank. Are you not a miracle? Debbie, is he not a miracle? That's right. How many more of you in here have testimonies that we haven't even heard? When you come down with something and you're broken out and you look horrible and man doesn't have an answer for you, you go to every doctor there is and you start praying and believing and God says, okay, you're healed now. You've been through this. You've been sitting here. You know who you got to trust in, me. And you wake up and you're completely cleared up. Is that not a miracle? Is that not God? I remember a long time ago when you were worried about that man right there. Am I right, Diane? You were worried about him. He's a miracle. That man can see today. That's a miracle. And you got a brother that's sitting in front. He's going to have it completely restored. Because he's standing. And he's standing on a word. And he's got his scriptures he stands on. And he stands on them every day. Because he believes. He believes that he received it. God's not going to let him down. He doesn't let any of us down. When we believe, he'll take us through it. So that's when we should say, glory to God. But see, glory, most of the time, is only short-lived because we forget. Because as soon as the next problem arises, no more are we in the giving him the glory. No longer are we praising him. We're now focused on a new problem. Continue to praise him. Continue to give him the glory. All right? He will take you through your situation. And he will take you through the next one when it comes to you. And he will take care of you through everyone that comes against you in the future. Everyone that you face, he will get you through it. And you can depend on him. Because it said all we have to do is trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Trust in him. And then simply believe in him is able to do what you have asked him to do. Because he's promised it in his word. Because when the devil comes and attacks you, you got to rely on the promise. What is the promise? Your enemy will come against you one way and will flee seven ways from you. That's the promise of God. Deuteronomy 28. Look them up. A lot of promises right there for you. He will come at you one way, but he's going to be fleeing from you, especially when you resist him in faith. Know who you are in Christ. Key. Know who you are in Christ. And he's always there for you. Always there for you. In fact, he's in you. Am I right? Greater is the one living inside of you than he that is in the world. So to him be all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Praise him always, no matter what. No matter what. And we have his word. Do we not have his word on it? His words are true, and they are not subject to change. Because God does not change. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord. I do not change. God himself spoke that. I do not change, is what he says. For my mercy endures forever. Yeah, okay, we'll add the part that's in his word. And his word says, that is why you are not already utterly destroyed. Because of his mercy. Because of his loving kindness, because he loves you that much. He could have taken you out a long time ago. Especially somebody as rotten as I was with a lot of things I did. But thank God for his mercy. And thank God that I had a praying family and a praying wife. Yeah. God honors prayer. He hears prayers. He hears our prayers. Amen. Okay, Lord. Because in Psalm, we read it last week, Psalm 89, verse 34, said, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the words that has gone forth from my mouth. Now, Matthew chapter 24, 32. Take a lesson from the fig tree. From the moment you notice it buds, that buds form, the merest hint of green, you know summer's just around the corner. It is with you, because he's talking about the end, he just talked about the end times to his disciples. When you see all these things, you'll know he's at the door. Don't take this lightly. I'm not just saying this for some future generations, but for all of you. This age continues until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will wear out. It will wear out, Jan. It will wear out. And you're right. Scripture reads just the way it was said. My words won't wear out. That's what he said. My words won't wear out. Work the word. Can't wear it out. It does not wear out. It accomplishes what you send it out to do in faith when you speak it and speak his words. No weapon formed against me, right? We were taught that a long time ago. That's one of the things we should say each and every day we get up. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. You can't wear it out. The devil might think you, convince you to think otherwise. No. And I still get up every morning and say, for this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Every morning, that's what I say. I'm not wearing it out, because every day is a new day. His mercies are new every day. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Sharper than any two-edged sword. That means it can't dull out or lose its edge. It's sharper. God's word remains true till the end, and it does not change. It's not going to change. No matter how long we're here on this earth, for us, it's not going to change. And that's, Uncle Frank, that's 120, and I know you're going to make 120 easy. Yep. Amen. Amen. So what God's word declares for you, you can surely have and are entitled to receive, right? Then why do some Christians doubt that God wants to do a miracle for them today? They believe that there are miracles performed today, but they're not for them. A lot of them think that. Whatever their reasoning it is based on a lie from the father of lies. It's what Jesus said. He's a liar, and he's the father of lies. That's the devil. He's just walking around like a lion, waiting for you to get so distracted upon your problems. Don't get overtaken by your problems. Look up. Look up. Look to Jesus. Keep your focus on Jesus. That's what he wants us to do. Eyes on me. That's what he says. Eyes on me. Not on the world. The world can't supply what you need. I can supply what you need. In fact, I can supply all of your needs according to the riches, right? In Christ Jesus. It's what he says to us. And as long as someone believes those lies, though, from the devil, that stands in the way of the glory of God working for them in their lives. Because Jesus told Martha, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? You want to see the glory of God in your life? Simply believe. Believe what? In what you asked. And that he's able to deliver on what you've asked. Then there's going to be some of people that are going to say, just not worthy. A believer, I've heard believers say, I'm not worthy. What? Jesus made you worthy. He is your worthiness. 1 Corinthians 5:21. For God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. It was the blood. It was the blood. The blood has cleansed you from your sins. The blood makes you worthy to receive all the promises of God. Worthy. Worthy. It means honorable. One deserving of respect, of high regard, deserving of honor, worthy, made you worthy. The devil is clever, and there are going to be many spins to his lie. Because when he told the first lie, he's going to have to tell another lie to reinforce that first lie. And lying just continues, continues, and continues. Don't believe the lies. Don't believe the lies. Whatever someone can come up with as to why they are not able to be healed, or why God won't do that for them, is no way a match for the cross in the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said it himself, three words, when he was hanging on that cross. It is finished. He said it. It is finished. He washed you clean. He brought you salvation. He redeemed you from the curse. That blood when he was hung on that cross. And that broken body that was hanging there at the same time brought you healing. Yes. They are yours. Salvation belongs to those who believe. Health and healing are the believers, because by his stripes you were healed. Look up. Look up. Look up to Jesus. So whatever someone thinks that they are not qualified, when they think that, Jesus already pre-qualified that individual. And sometimes we need to let other believers know that, because they can get down. They've been pre-qualified to receive every promise there is in the book. So I'm going to say to you, speak the word. Speak it, use it, work it. It doesn't wear out. It doesn't wear thin. When it comes to the sword, you don't have to put an edge on it. It doesn't lose its edge. The word of God does not lose its edge. It is sharp. It is sharp. Simply believe in him as able to do what you have asked. But make sure you ask. Ask according to his word. And when you're in something and you don't know how to ask, pray in the Spirit. The Spirit knows the will of God and knows the word of God better than you will. Because when you think you know God and you think you know the word, that's when you realize you really don't know God and you really don't know all that's in his word. That should humble you. Because each time you open the book, a scripture can open up to you so many different ways. So many different ways. And you will see the glory of God. Simply believe. Amen? And that's where we're going.